Stroll and put four verses in the slideshow, so that is on me. But we're excited this morning to have Brother Dwayne Tester with us. I've already introduced him once, but just pray for him as he comes and gives the morning message this morning. Pray that the Lord would anoint him and give him liberty. I spoke with him there before service started, and he said typically now here lately he's only been running about 2 hours. So, well, I'm just kidding. He did not say that. But no, seriously, we want to just welcome him. And Brother Tom, don't worry about time. You give what the Lord gave you.
That's 2 hours if I've eaten a good breakfast, but I had pancakes this morning, so they'll run out here in a few minutes. Amen. It is good to be with you this morning. I'm thankful for the opportunity to come. As he said, I am Brother Dwayne Tester, and born and raised here in these mountains, and it's good to be in a little mountain church. Amen. And I'll go ahead and break the ice. I'm an amen preacher. Out of the 774,746 words in the King James Bible, the last one is amen. It is biblical. And if you'll amen, it's like sicking a dog on a rabbit. The more you amen, the faster I'll preach and the quicker we'll go home. Amen. Let's practice that. Amen. And the more you get involved with it and help me, if it feels like I'm pulling teeth, you know how that can be sometimes. Amen. It doesn't bother me to preach all day, but I won't do that. I'd like to come back one day. Amen. Not have to drive around Mountain City to get through it. But it is good to be here. Pray for your pastor as he and his family, or as I was understood that as preachers say, the coast. The Christians, that's the correct vocabulary. They've gone to the beach. I'll tell on him. But amen, everybody needs to get away. You've got a great man, he and his dear wife. You love them. If you want to do something for your pastor, there's no greater thing that you can do for your pastor than to love them. Love them unconditionally. Understand that they're human, just like you are, faults and failures. Love them, and I promise you, the more you love them, the more they'll love you. So you just keep loving Brother Tyler and his dear wife, and it is good to be here this morning, and I'll just try real quickly to get through this. I want to preach on a thought this morning that God gave me this week, I hope that you get something out of it. I do appreciate the dear brother in the Sunday school. As he already stated, we're headed into a holiday season that I wished we could avoid. Amen. I don't know. I mean, I like candy, but I can buy it year round. Dollar store's got it. Amen. Now and Later is my favorite. Look, I'm trying to get you into practice a little bit. But this is a holiday that I despise. It's a devil's day. And as brother said, and I'll say it because I'm not your pastor and I'm not here, and if I offend you with what I'm fixing to say, I may not ever come back, so I'm going to go ahead and say it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 22 says, to abstain from all appearance of evil. The trouble we have as Christians today is we don't believe God's word. We don't believe what God has written, and he said to abstain from all appearance of evil. And we need to avoid this day, amen? Amen, and keep our minds full of the things of the Lord. So I appreciate that, brother, and that good word. If you have your Bibles, open up to the book of Hosea this morning, Hosea chapter number 4. I'm just going to read one verse here, then I'm going to be all over the Bible so you can keep up with me if you want to. If not, I'll be reading it for you. But Hosea chapter 4, verse number 6 is where you'll find our text this morning. I'm usually an expository preacher. That is, I deal with the text, either a verse or a series of verses, and I try to bring out everything I can. But God has given me a topical message today, and I'm going to try to bring it out of this verse, and then we're going to go throughout the Bible in some different places. Hosea chapter 4, verse number 6. When you find that, if you'll stand, stretch your legs for the two-hour message. I like it. Amen. Somebody said that back there. Hosea chapter 4, verse number 6. The Bible says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children." You may be seated. Father, as we come to the throne of grace again this morning, Lord, we're thankful for another opportunity to be in your house of worship this morning. What a joy and privilege it is to be here this morning, Lord, with these folks at Mountain City Baptist Church. And Father, as we've come this way, Lord, you know the thought that you've placed upon my heart this week. Lord, the message that you've helped me to develop. And Lord, I pray this morning that you'd give me clearness of mind, looseness of tongue. Lord, give me boldness to say everything I need to say here this morning. God, give me great discernment to say nothing that would dishonor you in any way, shape, or form. And Father, if there's one here that's lost today, I pray today would be the day of salvation. Father, if there's one here today, Lord, discouraged, I pray today would be the day of encouragement. And God, as I always pray at every service, Lord, help us this morning, Lord, to leave better than we've come. And Father, we need you this morning, Lord. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to fall upon us this morning. I pray, Lord, that you'd help me to preach with power and unction from on high today. And Father, pray that you just watch over this service and help us, Lord, in only a way that you can. For it's in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, I'm as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. Amen. I always get nervous when I go somewhere new to preach. But I'm here to try to uplift you this morning, be a help to you and challenge you this morning. I was up in Ohio this past week, me and my wife and my family. We were up there. We always go up north there for a little vacation, I guess you could say, a getaway every year. But I was up there and I heard some people, I wasn't eavesdropping, if you will. I'm not one of those nosy Christians. But these people were talking pretty loud, and I kept hearing them talk about some things, and there was a statement made that I've heard all my life. And how many of you have ever heard this statement, "What you don't know won't hurt you"? Have you ever heard that statement? What you don't know won't hurt you. That may be so in a few things, and I don't believe it's so in the most important things in a person's life. They were talking about some things that I'll not get into, but I believe in the world we're living in today, most people have that mindset. What we don't know won't hurt us. So we don't dive into the Word of God. We don't look and try to see what God's thoughts are on the matter. We just try to sort of stay blinded to these things. And I believe, when I got to thinking more about that, I believe that more times than not, we're hurt by not knowing things in our lives than that of knowing what God would be, have us to do. And I want to deal with some of these things in this message today. I got to thinking about that. You see, there's some things that you and I as Christians that we can say without any reservations that we know. I had a brother deacon at Prophet's Grove Baptist Church over in Boone. And I always loved to hear him testify. And he would always stand up and it stuck with me. He'd start out and he said, "I'm glad that I know that I know that I know." And I'm glad this morning that I know that I know that I know. I'm glad that I know that I'm born again, saved by the grace of God. Amen. I'm glad that Jesus met me one day. I'm glad that he met me as an old sinner. See, apart from God, I'm nothing but an old sinner. But amen, now that in 1979 I got saved by the grace of God, now I'm a child of the King. I'm glad that I know that this morning. And there's some things in this world I care not to know. Amen. I mean, I've been preaching for a pretty good while now. And that is one of the things of pastoring the church that I figured out pretty quick that, and please don't take this wrong, but I'd always stand at the back door and I'd shake people's hands as they come out. And I would ask them, how are you doing today? Or if I didn't get to speak to them during the service. And there's some people that I figured out pretty quick, you don't ask that. Amen. They would tell me things that I didn't care to know about. Amen. They by the time they got out the door, they were more depressed, and I was even more depressed myself for even asking. There's some things in this world I just care not to know. There's things, some things that I realize I still need to know. Amen. I just because I've preached for a while now that I don't know it all. I don't stand before you and claim to be some kind of spiritual wonder. I'm not the Albert Einstein of theology. Every day is a learning process for me. Amen. And I'm still maturing in the Lord. You know, every day, that ought to be our desire, is to grow and mature in the things of God. And there's some things that I know that I know that I know. As I've already said, I know I'm saved eternally. I'm glad for eternal security. Amen. I'm glad that I know in whom I believe this morning. I know I was not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. My salvation comes from God. Amen. Amen. I know that the blood of Jesus has cleansed me and from the all of sin's penalty this morning. Amen. And many other things we know as believers in Christ, but what we know is not my message this morning. It's what we don't know. It's where I want to look this morning. It's the things that many that don't know that I'm going to cover through this. The things that I'll mention are things that I know as I've studied through the years. But I'm afraid there's a lot of people don't care to know or haven't thought about it or don't want to know. But I'm going to try to help you with that this morning. See, I want to challenge you this morning. There are several places in the Bible where we find the words, they knew not. In the text that I read this morning, you notice it said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. There's a lack of knowledge in the world today, amen, among the Bible-believing Christians in the Bible Belt of the eastern half of the United States of America. I'm afraid we've become unbuckled for a lack of knowledge. There was a time that this Word of God was held dear. It was revered. That it was a time when mamas and daddies thought enough to not hand their children an iPad or an iPhone and let them sit down at night and keep themselves busy. But they would get out the Word of God and they would read the Bible and they would gain knowledge and they would grow up to be strong Christians. But what is happening? The world is teaching our youngins a whole different thing. Amen. And there's a lack of knowledge. And I've got a red letter Old Testament Bible. And these are the words of God in Hosea. And he said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. There's a lot of people that don't want to know what God has to say. Because when you come face to face with God and you understand what God thinks, oftentimes it goes against what we think and it causes us to be different than we are, and we don't want to be different than we are. We're living in a world of self-gratification, a world where it's all about me. Amen. It's a self-pleasing world and we're living in that, and our children are brought up that the world is all about them. Beloved, I'm not here to hurt nobody's feelings this morning, but it's not all about you. It's not all about me. It's all about him, and it always has been, always will be. Amen.
Amen.
And we need to understand that there's some things we don't know that we need to get a hold of. You see, I want to give you seven thoughts this morning in this two-hour message that I believe will help us this morning. See, I'd hate to not know these things that I'm about to give. I'd hate to not know the will of God for my life. How many of you here this morning can honestly say that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt what God's will is for your life. See, that's a big statement, ain't it? Amen. I know what God's will is in my life. I'm not saying I'm some type of a super spiritual giant, but I know that God has called me to preach the gospel. Amen. I know where God wants me to be, and that is to preach the word of God in a pulpit somewhere every time the church doors are open. But there's many people that really don't care to know the will of God for their life. Why is that? Because it may take them beyond their comfort zone. It may take you outside of yourself and where you are right now in this world. Amen. Right now you're comfortable, aren't you? Why is that? Because you're not in the spotlight. You're not up here preaching and being judged like the preacher is. Amen. I preach loud and I preach hard. And if I offend you, amen, I'm sorry, but that's just the way I'm here. But that many people want to stay within their comfort zone. And they never get outside of their comfort zone and actually step into the will of God for their lives. They want God's will to be conformed to them. Be conformed to their comfort, their security. When God called me to preach about 20 years ago, it wasn't something I looked forward to. It's not something I ever desired to be. I grew up a preacher's grandson, and I was drug all over these mountains to church. I mean, he would come and get me, and we'd go to church on Sunday morning, and he'd preach, and then we'd leave from there. And how many of you older folks that are raised around here remember Holly Farms? Well. Holly Farms used to have chicken place down here. Where, what's the steakhouse down there on the corner? Yeah, right there. Man, they had the best type of wedges in the world. My grandpa was a chicken-eating Baptist preacher. We'd go down there and get chicken after he got done preaching. We'd eat them tiger wedges and leave there, and we'd go to somebody's house that afternoon, and they'd have church in the house. I remember him standing on the hearth of an old fireplace, and he'd preach again. We'd leave there and go eat chicken. Amen. Then we'd go back to church on Sunday night. Amen. He'd preach the word of God again. We'd leave there, we'd go eat chicken. I'll be honest with you, I'm a steak kind of preacher. But I grew up seeing my grandpa struggle a lot. Being a preacher ain't easy. Work all day, come home, change clothes, run out, go preach a revival, come back home 10, 11 at night. Amen, turn around, do it all again the next day. I mean, I've seen my grandpa do that over and over and over. And I never wanted to be a preacher. Amen, I'm going somewhere with this. I'll hurry up and get done here in just a minute. But I didn't want it. And when God called me to preach, boy, I'd wake up in the middle of the night preaching. And it burned it down in my soul. And there's one night I lay there in the bed with my wife. I've told this all over the country. I rolled over and I picked her on the shoulder and I said, honey, we need to talk. She says immediately, she said, I ain't going to be no preacher's wife. I said, that's all I need to know. All right, God, you made a mistake. You didn't call me to be the preacher and not call my wife. So for 3 years, me and her run from God. Three of the most miserable years of our life. Amen. Trying to find God's will, you know, we thought we knew that it wasn't in the preaching. It wasn't in pastoring, amen. It was in doing what we wanted to do. Sit on a pew, put some money in a plate, say amen every now and then, and go home. That's all we were about. I remember in a revival meeting one night, sitting there listening to that preacher preach. Amen. I knew what God's will was for my life. That old preacher get the altar call. He looked me dead in the eye and he said, somebody here needs to surrender to God. And
put her hand in my hand, and we took the step together. I say hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Knowing that you're in the will of God will change your life. Amen. But a lot don't want to be in the will of God because it takes you outside of your comfort zone oftentimes. Can I tell you three things about not knowing the will of God? First of all, it causes doubt in your life. Amen. If you don't know God's will for your life, you'll be confused. You'll doubt everything. Every time God speaks, you'll say, well, are you sure, God? Amen. It causes divisiveness, division. Amen. In your life, had we not surrendered, it would have caused, first of all, division between us and God. And when you're not following the will of God for your life, there's a division between you and God. God's saying, go this way. And you're saying, no, I want to go that way. This over here looks better. It's shinier. It's prettier, God. And God's saying, no, you follow me. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You need to know what the will of the Lord is for your life. When you, those 3 years of my life was discouraging years. I spent 3 years totally discouraged because we weren't where we needed to be with God. See, if you don't know this morning, you're one of those three places. You're doubting, you're fighting division, you're discouraged. And it's amazing today in this Christian world we're living in, it's amazing how many people knows the will of God for everybody else except not themselves. Amen? Oh, he ain't a preacher. Well, how do you know? How do you know? Did you call it? Well, I just know, preacher. I've been around a long time. Well, you just leave that between him and God. Amen. Amen. Everybody knows about everybody else but themselves. And what we need to do today is take a long, deep look at themselves, amen? Look at ourselves and see, are we where and doing what God would have us to do? See, how do you know God's will for your life? There's three things. There's a desire in your heart that will not leave. Amen. There's a desire that you just couldn't get past. For 3 years, I knew. I mean, wake up in the middle of the night preaching a message, you know, and I've heard a lot of preaching in my life. But I'd wake up preaching it myself. Always thinking about a message, always desiring to be telling somebody about Jesus. If you have a desire in your heart and you know what God would have you to do today, amen, you need to get after it. God leading you to a certain direction by his providence. God opens doors, amen. God doesn't open a door for you in your life and not expect you to go through that door. And if that door is not meant for you, he'll make a way out of that room. Amen. He'll pass you through that. Everywhere God leads us is a growing process and getting us ready for that next door. Are you waiting on God? Are you looking? Are you walking around with eyes open, ears attentive to what God would have you to do? Third, but not least, the Word of God speaking to you in your heart. See, the Bible tells us, amen, that you and I need to listen to that still small voice, amen. We need to listen to what God's telling us, amen, and follow it. Get in the Word of God. You'll figure it out. God will show you what you need to do. I'd hate to not know the will of God for my life. I'd hate to go through every day just not knowing about what God would have me to do. All I'm doing is existing. Secondly, I was thinking about this thought, and I got to thinking about Samson. I was thinking about Samson and how that Samson didn't know the power was gone from his life. You all know the story pretty well of Samson, and I'm sure, and how that Samson, he was a Nazarite, wasn't he? How many of you youngins know about Samson? Strongest man in the world. Amen. Make Hulk look like me. Just check and see if you like. I mentioned that chicken a minute ago, and everybody got to looking at their watch. Amen. Thinking about JP's down here. But Samson, strongest man in the world, he's raised in Nazareth, a judge from the nation of Israel, the leader of the nation of Israel. But poor old Samson had a problem. His problem was Samson. He had a wandering eye. He's always coming up with riddles. He is always looking at women and going after women and this and that. And the Bible tells me that Samson, he was someplace he shouldn't have been. He's down in Gaza. And he saw a woman there, a harlot, the Bible describes. And he went in unto her. Her name was Delilah. No, Samson, he fell in love with Delilah. You know, he was smitten by this woman. And Delilah, she was a conniver. She was set up with the Philistines, and Philistines was out to get Samson. Amen. I'm going somewhere with this. I'm going to hurry. I'm going to kick it in gear here in a minute. But Samson, he fell in love with this woman, the Philistines. They came up to Delilah, and they got together. They started conniving away to get Samson because Samson was a powerful man. I mean, he could whip anything and anybody. Killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass. I mean, am I right? I'm still in the book. But his love for Delilah, being where he shouldn't have been, got in the way. So Delilah kept asking him, Samson, where's your power coming from? I'm just paraphrasing. Where do you draw your power from? Samson, he'd just play with her a little bit, but it came on, and the Bible said, and it came to pass when she had pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. I guess he got, as we would say in Mount Turner, got sick and tired of harassing. Amen. Got sick and tired of harassing. You men say it together. Amen. That's why we do a lot of the housework we do. We get sick and tired of harassing. I'll say it because you're thinking it. So Delilah, she pressed him day in and day out, and he was vexed unto death. He told her all of his heart, the Bible says in Judges chapter 16, verse 17. Told her all of his heart. Said, there's not a razor come on my head. That was a Nazarite vow. He wasn't ashamed. And his power was in his hair. We know the story, amen. And the saddest part of the whole story is in verse number 20. The Bible said, and she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. Samson had always had a way out. Samson and his strength had always proven more. When God was in his life, when God was a part of his life, nothing could bother him, nothing could touch him, nothing could harm him. And I'm afraid that's where a lot of Christians are today. We've got to the place that we're relying upon ourselves. Relying, he said, I'll go out and shake myself as other times before. I'll do just like I've always done. And I'll be all right. And the Bible says, and this is the saddest part, brother, this whole story. And he knew not that the Lord was departed from him. He didn't know that the power of God was gone from his life. I'm afraid in our churches today, we are sitting around and wondering what's wrong, what's going on, and we don't know that God has left us. The power of God has left our services, have left our lives. I mean, I'll just go ahead and say it. There was a time that our little mountain churches were full every Sunday morning. Amen. We didn't have to really go out and beat the doors down like we do today. There was a time that the power of God was surreal and people's lives were changed so much that people wanted to be a part of it. They saw a difference in the Christian outside of the church. Not just, it's easy to come in church and sit there and say, amen. Act like a Christian. I mean, we've got a lot of Sunday morning Christians across this world. Come into church on Sunday morning and, boy, they play the game good, but then they go out and they live like hell Monday through Saturday. Amen. I'm just telling it like it is. I may never get to come back, but I'm going to preach it here one time. You can't, if you're a child of God, live like hell Monday through Saturday and come in on Sunday morning and tell me that you've got the power of God in your life. And our churches today are losing, are blinded, just like Samson. They're blinded because they fell in love with the world. They fell in love with money. They fell in love with numbers. Amen. Everybody, all churches today are playing the numbers game and want to be the big church. I'll tell you one thing I've learned in these past 20 years. Amen. And that is, I'd rather preach to 5 that love God than 5,000 that want to play church. Amen. You say, well, preacher, I just don't like all that liveliness. Well, you better get ready because heaven's going to be a lively place. Amen. Heaven's going to be a very lively place. Why is that? The Bible tells me there's going to be a whole lot of praising going on. Amen. There's going to be a whole lot of shouting, a whole lot of singing. Oh, preacher, that's not so. Well, I'm going to tell you something. He's coming back with a shout. And today we're riding around, we're looking for things that please us. But we sit in our pews and we're not worried one time about what we're going to please him. And we've lost the power of God. And Samson, amen, it's a shame because he was unconscious of, he was in spiritual decline in his life. He didn't know. He'd got to a place he didn't even know that God was gone. Where are you at today? You feel that God is rich now as you ever have? In your life, is it as strong now as it ever has been? Samson, he goes against his parents' teaching. He was brought up better than this. He was brought up a Nazarite. He was taught the things of a Nazarite, the holy men of God. He knew better. He takes on an unequally yoked relationship. Boy, you don't hear much about that today, do you? I've been called everything but a white man over my stance on marriage. Amen. And if you're unequally yoked, amen, I'm talking about if you're saved and your spouse, or I don't know the word I'm looking for right there. This went brain dead. You ever do that? The person you're dating that you would aspire to marry, your engagement or whatever. If you're unequally yoked and you come to me wanting me to marry you, you'll probably get a big no. Why is that? Because it already started out on the wrong foot. Amen. Two people, amen, one is saved and one is unsaved, ain't nothing but a recipe for disaster. Amen. And I'm telling you, I have been cussed over my stance on it. But Samson was in that kind of relationship. He was unequally yoked with a Philistine girl, God's enemy. Amen. And now Samson, he sinks to a level that he's acting out in immorality. He's sleeping with this harlot. He's running these foreign women. I mean, he don't even understand where he's at spiritually. And he's spiritually blinded. To the point he didn't even know that God was gone. Verse number 21 tells us that they come, the Philistines come, and they take Samson. He'd lost his strength. He'd lost his power. He's talking about fighting the temptations, the lust of this world, all the things that this month is going to bring to us. You can't do it on your own power. You're going to have God. Hey, man, you're going to have God. And what we need, God's in our homes. Amen. Mamas and daddies, you need God to bring up your children. Grandmas, grandpas, you need God to help rear up your grandchildren. Amen. And it's going to set you apart from this world. But I'd rather have God on Samson hits the spiritually blinded. He didn't know God was gone, and the Philistines come. They take Samson. What do? They gouge out his eyes. They literally, physically put his eyes out. He loses his sight. He's lost his strength. He became ashamed, even to the point that the enemy mocked him and said, he was like any other man. How do you know, preacher? Verse number 17. Samson himself said, if I'm shaven, I'll become just like any other man. I'm afraid that many people today are just like everybody else. But we need to be set apart. Is that not what the Word of God says? Come ye out from among them and be ye a separate people. We need some separate people in the world we're living in. Everybody's looking to Washington for their help right now. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on, bless God, it's not going to change. What we need is God back in our houses, our homes, amen. We need God back in our churches. We need God back in our communities. We need God back in our counties, our states. And then we'll see a change in our country. But we're so blinded, we don't know that God is gone. Are you still with me? Give you a few more things. I may not get through all this because I do value your friendship. Amen. It's a shame that Israel didn't know the scriptures, brother. How do you know? The Bible says in the book of Matthew, chapter number 22. Matthew chapter 22, verse number 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. Who is he talking to? Talking to the religious people. See, we're playing a good game today, amen? We try to find loopholes and everything else to allow us to do that we want to do. But the Word of God is pretty specific of how you and I should live in this world. The Word of God has an answer for everything if we just get into it and look and read and study it out and find it for ourselves. You see, when you don't get in the Word of God, and I'm talking about daily Bible reading. My wife was reading last night. She said, she started reading there in the book of Romans. And I said, what are you reading? What are you studying on? And she said, well, you can read your Bible on your phone, but ain't nothing like holding it in your hand. Ain't nothing like picking up this old sword. Amen. Open it up and go to reading. You see, what we need today is to get back in the Word of God, and then we'll produce fruitful minds. Our minds will become clearer into the things of God. We'll be able to make a difference in people's lives because we'll have the Word of God in our minds and in our hearts. But what do you hear today? Well, preacher, what do you think about this? I don't know. Let me go look it up. And that's a good thing, brother. But I believe the Bible teaches us that we should study to show ourselves approved. Amen. To get in the Word of God, we need to meditate on the Father's Word. The Bible said in Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You want to make it through this world prosperous and have success? Get in the Word of God. He'll show you where you need to be, where you need to go. And as I've already said, we need to study to show ourselves approved. Amen. To get in it. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Amen. You get in the Word of God. You stay in the Word of God. Amen. And it'll protect you from the devil. It'll help you. Amen. You see, I'd hate to not know in the Word of God. I'd hate to not know what God said concerning regeneration, I guess you could say. John chapter 3, verse number 2, chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You need to be born again. I didn't say it, Jesus did. Amen. Ye must be born again. If you want to go to heaven, amen, you've got to get saved. You must be born again. What about repentance? Boy, you don't hear repentance preached on today. Amen. The Bible said in chapter 13, verse number 3, I tell ye nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You've got to change. You've got to turn. Turn your back on this world and turn to God. How long has it been since you left the things that are troubling you, weighted you down? Turn, leave them behind and come to God. Every one of us, when we walked into church this morning, all got down on our hands and knees and crawled up here on this old altar. Why is that? God saved your soul and he didn't save your flesh. And sometimes this week you've lost that battle between the flesh and the spirit. Amen. And we need to ask God for forgiveness and tell him that we're going to repent. I'm not going back into that again. I'm secure. Amen. I can do anything I want to. Paul said this. He said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. We need to repent. Amen. We need to teach our youngins early age that it's, well, they need to repent, that they must be born again. Repentance is part of it. Amen.
I mean, can I preach just a few minutes more? Amen. I'm starved to death too. What about righteousness? Boy, you don't hear holy living preached on no more, do you? Romans chapter 10, verse 4, the Bible says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. But you know, there's something there. How many of us are living holy and righteous? We don't hear a whole lot about retribution. What do you mean, preacher? Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Are you with me? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And that's a dangerous place. You sowing for the Lord or you sowing for the devil? Are you sowing seeds of discord, division, seeds of sin? Are you sowing seeds of righteousness? I could preach a little while right there. I mean, this list goes on. What about the return of the Lord? John chapter 14, verse number 3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there you may be also. I said, woo! Right there. Amen, I like it, don't you? He's coming again. He's not dead. He's coming. It might be today. I did not leave one thing in Meat Camp, North Carolina. I need to go back and get it. Amen. My wife's at home right now. She wasn't feeling good this morning. Got some kind of sign and stuff. And we were scared. And she come over here and sneezed or called for everybody to look at her like she had the COVID. She ain't got the COVID. Amen. You can't even go out public anymore and sneeze. Yeah, how many of you tried to choke down a sneeze? That don't work, amen. Sneeze, it comes out your ears. It does me, but I ain't got a whole lot of fear. But I'm going to tell you something. My wife's saved by the grace of God. My son lives in Wilkesboro, North Carolina. He's saved by the grace of God. My daughter-in-law is saved by the grace of God. If that trumpet of God sounds right now, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verses 13 through 18. Amen. While I get angry right there, I'll have a spell. Amen. But when that trump of God sounds, that voice of an archangel, amen, happens, the dead in Christ shall rise. Amen. That's why I like to stand a little taller. I'm a short fella. I'm going to go out here like a bottle rocket. Amen. It said, the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive and remain shall be called.
picture. Amen. And we which are alive and remain shall be called out. I'm going out of here. I'm going to get a head start on some of you. Amen. But guess what? When we get up over the old stone mountain, amen, over Rich Mountain, I look over yonder, be my wife. Look a little bit more there, be my son, my daughter-in-law, my mom and daddy over in Bethel, North Carolina. Amen. I didn't live one thing at home right there that I need to go back and get. I'm ready to go. I'm saved by the grace of God. I got the power of God in my life. I know what the Word of God says. I'm looking forward to it. Amen. Death, where is thy victory? Oh, death. I ain't afraid to die of you. Lord God, I mean, threaten a Christian with death. Amen. Think about that for just a minute now. I'm ready to go. I ain't in no hurry to be on the next load. Amen. I ain't looking for it in that sense, but to threaten Christians with death is just the beginning of life. Amen. Amen. We'll live for all eternity. Won't that be good? I hope I have hair in heaven. Amen. Lord, I hope I get Absalom's hair. Don't you, brother? You look like you got the same disease. Here, God made a few perfect heads and the rest he put hair on. Bless God. Listen, Lord's are coming back. There's reaping. He's still alive. There's reaping in the fields to be done.
Yeah, right.
You said it this morning, brother. Go out, knock on some doors, tell people about it. The fields are white for the harvest. Amen. This Halloween, I ain't even going. This devil's day. Bless God, when they come to your door, tell them about Jesus. Amen. Tell them you got the best of all treats this world has ever seen. Amen. There's rewards in heaven. Amen. You've already said a mouthful this morning, brother. I just think going to be a lot of Christians. And I don't know about you, but God's leading me to say this, so it must be for somebody here. You're going to have nothing except the crown of eternal life. I'm like you, brother. I want to lay down before my Lord and Savior all that I can. For he is worthy. Amen. I want to give him all I can. There's a crown for soul winners. Man, there's crowns. I'm telling you, you get to studying that out. There's rewards, amen, that you'll gain in heaven. And I just want to lay them at the feet of Jesus. How shameful it be to look beside you there in heaven and that one that you didn't think was worthy, that didn't do nothing. You look around and he's got an armload of rewards. You thought you was the only one doing something for God because you're saved. You came to church and you sat down and said, God, I'm here, bless me if you can. But you look and you see a little same God that picks up the phone and calls and worries about the lost youngins in her family. And she does her best to lead them to the Lord. And they've got the armload of treasures and they just lay it down at the feet of Jesus. And all you're standing there. Better wake up, Israel, and you not the scriptures. You've got no excuse this morning. You've got no excuse. What about Noah's generation? They knew not of the Lord until it came. Amen. Do you understand me today? Even though we live in the Bible Belt, there's people all around us that know nothing about Jesus. Back home where I live, on that road, there's 14 miles, and there's 11 churches in 14 miles. We were talking about that, brother. 11 churches in 14 miles. Pretty saturated, ain't it? I mean, they got every flavor of church you want. It's like a dollar store candy aisle. Just keep walking, you'll find what you want in just a minute. But I was talking to a young boy back at Easter several years ago. And he was talking about, he didn't understand all the hoopla of Easter. and that bunny rabbit. I said, well, brother, Easter is all about the resurrection. What are you talking about? Resurrection of what? Of Jesus Christ. I was almost shocked. God's talking to him a little more, and the boy had never heard about Jesus. Church, don't be deceived into thinking everybody around here knows about Jesus. Amen. Don't be deceived that think everybody knows about Jesus. They don't. And I'm going to promise you something. Every one of you, how many of you here are saved today? Raise your hand. You're saved. You know you're saved. All right. Every day, God puts somebody before you to tell them about Jesus. Every day, God gives you an opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus. Have you been doing that? What if that person died tomorrow? But God put them before you today. They knew not the Lord. You see, you and I, we like to claim ignorance in the matter, amen? We like to claim that, especially as husbands when we get in trouble, right? I didn't know. I don't know. It ain't going to work with the Lord. Amen? You see, there's a day of every day. They could have, should have known. Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and he preached, what, 110 years? With a hammer in one hand, building an ark. Rains are coming. God's judgments are coming. I mean, you can't help tell me a man that had never been to the lake with his bass boat, never seen rain. All of a sudden, this man's building this great, big, monstrosity boat that it didn't draw attention. People were coming, why are you building another boat, Noah? What did you call that? God said it was a boat, an ark. Why? Judgment's coming. Why? Because God's saddened by the sin of the world. Go back and read it for yourself, Genesis chapter 6. God saddened me. It troubled God. He said, I'm just going to destroy it. Church, we can't claim ignorance just like those people couldn't claim. Only 8 people were saved. That was Noah and his family. Everybody that beat on the side of the ark. Noah, let us in. Noah, let us in. We didn't know. You're here today and you reject God. You can't, one day you will stand before Him. You'll stand at the great white throne of judgment. And you won't be able to plead your case as you didn't know. Amen. Why is that? You've heard enough gospel already this morning to save the world. Amen. You've already heard enough gospel to save the world, yet you will find yourself in a devil's hell one day. See, that day was a day of indulgence. It's a day of immorality. I'm going somewhere. I'm almost. How long have I preached? 2 hours yet? My wife is. She's at home watching Facebook. You pray for me, honey. The Bible says, in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming Son of Man. I'm going somewhere. Somebody needs to hear this morning. We're living in a day of indulgence and immorality in the world we're living in. Get all you can get. Live the way you want to. Amen. And the day of indecision is taking place. See, no one came to the ark to be saved. And what did? Amen. They died in the flood. Amen. Listen to me. The Bible says, and took them all away. They died at the wrath of God. You see, I'd hate to not know that there's a better way. There's a way out of this world. You can be saved from your sin right here this morning. Amen. You can't depend on your mama and daddy's salvation. You can't depend on your husband and wife's salvation. Are you born again? Are you saved by the grace of God this morning? I'm glad I know the voice of my Savior. Amen. There's a lot of people that don't know the voice. The Bible says this, and I'll hurry. John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Listen, if you're a child of God, we hear. How many of you have heard that still small voice lately?
We hear, we know, and we follow. But there's many that don't know that this morning. Sixthly, the day of my visitation of God, I know what day I got saved. Amen. I'm glad that God came, and I've never forgot that visitation from God. And if you're here this morning, you're saved by the grace of God, you remember it as well. Am I right? You remember when the God of heaven showed up in your life? I mean, you think about that. The very God that stepped out on the edge of nothing and flung the stars from his fingertips, that stood and spoke everything into existence, came and saw little old you. Boy, I like it, don't you? Amen. I mean, of all the people in the world, why in the world would God come talk to me? But you know something? I was sitting there on the front pew in that choir, and God came. Said the Holy Spirit of God came on me. And he didn't tell me just that he loved me. Just told me, said, "You're a sinner. You need to be born again. You must be born again." And you know, the Bible says two cannot walk together except they be agreed. In 1979, I agreed with God. He said, "You're a sinner." I said, "God, you're right. Lord, I need to get saved." And he said, "Well, rest in formality, my son." Amen. Oh, I like it. I believe that soon as I left that pew, amen, I believe it was done. It was done with God. Get that quill, amen, in the blood.
Not known that you've not had that visitation of God, but I want to tell you something. He's here this morning. I feel him. He's here. He's speaking to me. He's squeezing my heart, and the juice has done run out of my eyes a time or two. Bless God. If you miss heaven, it won't be because of me. It'll be because you rejected the visitation of God. Amen. Felix, and I'm done. I've got one more point, and I'm done. We're going to leave here and go somewhere and eat. Acts chapter 24, verse 25 said, talking about Felix, and as he reasoned of righteousness, some of you are reasoning this morning, reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, the Bible said Felix trembled. I mean, he was under conviction, amen? He was under conviction, and Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Felix said, "Go on." He said, "I'll do it another day." Never read where he got saved. You will not get saved when you want to get saved. You must be saved under old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction. The Holy Spirit of God must have a part in it. Amen? I worry about deathbed repentance. Amen? You can't live like you want to all your life and expect to get saved on your deathbed. God has to convict you of your sins, and I promise you, God will do his part. It's whether or not you accept it or reject it. Today is the day of salvation. I'll give you this, and I'm done. Finally, I would just hate not to know God. I'm glad to know him this morning. I ain't much of a preacher. I'm long-winded as I can be. But I'm glad I can stand here this morning and say, all my faults and failures aside, I know God. What do you mean, preacher? The Bible says 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. "And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall reveal from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God." That won't be me. I know him. Amen. But if you're here this day and you don't know God as your personal Savior, listen to this. He said he's taken out his vengeance on them that know not God, and they that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. What did I just tell you a minute ago? You must be born again. That's the gospel. And he said, "Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Pitiful words in that is they knew not God. And fiery vengeance. There's a hell awaiting. It was not created for you. It was created for Satan and his angels. The fallen angels that came with Satan. That's why hell was created. But you and I, those that are saved by the grace of God, won't have to worry about it. But if you're here today and you're lost, undone without Jesus, you will go to hell as an uninvited guest. And God will not put you in hell. You will put yourself in hell. God made a way. And you don't have to die and go to hell and experience the fiery vengeance. Amen. The eternal destruction. A place where you can't die, but you'd wish you could die. A place that you'll hear this bald-headed preacher beg you to come to Jesus. Hear over and over saying, you must be born again. Jesus is here with open arms, ready to forgive you of your sin. You'll hear it, but you'll never be able to be born again. I believe that would be one of the greatest torments in hell, is to see an old-fashioned altar, hear a fiery, liver-lung preacher, and never be able to be saved. Why is that? Because you've already rejected God and cast yourself into the devil's hell.
And at the great white throne of judgment, the most painful words you'll ever hear in your life will be this. When God himself opens up the book, as you stand there, depart from me, ye cursed. I never knew you. It's a shame that we don't know enough that we need to know, but what's even greater shame is when God tells you he didn't know you. Will you find yourself in the devil's hell if you do? It's pitiful shame. You don't have to die and go to hell. You can be born again right here this morning. Amen. Child of God, you can grow in the Lord. There's things that we don't know, but there's things we ought to know. Amen. There's a way of life that we ought to live, and we ought to do better. Better than we do. And I don't mean to be critical in no way, shape, or form. Don't want to be offensive. But church, we can do better. We cannot continually plead ignorance and make it through this old world. And they knew not. But this morning you've heard enough to know. So sister, if you'll come to the piano for just a moment. Everybody stand, every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment. We're fixing to leave. Father, this morning, Lord, as we come to the most important time, decision time, this service. Father, I trust that you've spoken to every heart in this service today. And Father, for the ones that may be here that's lost today, I pray today it'd be the day of salvation. God, draw them through old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction. Woo them, Lord God, like you've never wooed them before. And Father, for those that are saved by your marvelous grace, God, I pray this morning you draw them unto thee, that, Lord, that they'd leave this place better. Knowing, God, that there's a better way. Knowing that this is serious business, God, we have no reason to stand before you and plead ignorance. Lord, as many as we've read in the Bible that knew not, God, and we've seen what they went through, God, today you've showed us it's time that we stand up and we say, I know better than that. Help us this day, God. We'll be careful to praise you, for it's in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Every head still bowed and every eye still closed. First of all, I'm going to say this. Child of God, mind the Lord. Come to this altar this morning. Ask God to help you, strengthen you, God, to get you through another day, to make a difference in Mountain City, Tennessee. God may very well be calling Mountain City Baptist Church to step out and be different. Secondly, this morning, if you hear and you've never been saved by the grace of God, I wonder if you'd step out of your chair and come.
down this altar, let me tell you how you can be born again. I can't save you, but I can point you toward the one that can. Would you step out this morning? Would you come? Don't chance it. Say, preacher, I've been a church member here. I've been a church member somewhere else. I want to say some church membership won't get you to heaven. You must be born again. You say, well, I thought I was saved. Well, I'd hate to know that I was thinking I was. I'd want to know that I was. Would you come this morning? As these are dealing here on the altar, I'm going to ask one more simple time. If you're here and you're saved and you know you're saved, would you slip your hand up and say, preacher, I'm saved and I know it. I know I'm saved. You put them down. There are several of you here that couldn't do that this morning. Are you guaranteed another day? Are you guaranteed another opportunity like this? Don't let it pass you by. Remember those words, depart from me, ye cursed. I never knew you. Would you come this morning? We're going to close with this. If you're here and you've never been saved, would you slip your hand up and say, Preacher Dwayne, would you pray for me? I know I'm not saved, but I need your prayers. Would you slip your hand up? I see the hand. God sees the heart. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, God, as we close out this service today, Lord, I pray everything said and done brought you honor and glory. Father, I pray, Lord, that you forgive me for being so long this morning, tiring out your people. But God, it's important business. Your business is important to me. And Father, I pray, Lord, for those that come to this old-fashioned altar this morning, you know what they needed, God, as they laid it and petitioned you for it. God, this morning I pray that you grant that according to your will. God, for the one that lifted their hand that was lost here this morning, I pray, God. God, don't depart. God, may your Spirit, Holy Ghost of Spirit, stay upon them and save them before it's eternally too late. God, thank you for this open door of opportunity. And Lord, I pray that I've not wasted it. And Father, we love you. We thank you and praise you, for it's in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you.